Picture angry London commuters in October 2019, kicking and punching climate protesters who'd climbed atop electric-powered tube trains during rush hour. The irony was thick: activists disrupting zero-emission transport to save the planet. When interviewed afterward, a spokesperson claimed their disruption merely previewed climate change's inevitable chaos: empty supermarkets, blackouts, transport collapse. But what if the preview itself revealed something more troubling than climate change? Our inability to distinguish real environmental problems from manufactured apocalypse. For 3 decades as an environmental activist, watching this movement transform from practical conservation into doomsday prophecy has been unsettling. We've reached a peculiar moment where celebrities share decades-old photos claiming the Amazon is burning, where plastic straws become public enemy number one while commercial fishing nets kill millions of sea turtles, and where we shut down our cleanest energy source, nuclear power, in the name of saving the climate. When Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez declared the world is going to end in 12 years, headlines amplified the alarm. Leonardo DiCaprio echoed similar warnings. Greta Thunberg urged us to panic rather than hope. Yet when NASA scientist Gavin Schmidt heard the 12-year claim, he called such time-limited frames bullshit. MIT's Carrie Emanuel expressed frustration with apocalypse criers, while Stanford's Ken Caldera stated flatly, climate change does not threaten human extinction. The environmental conversation hasn't just gone off the rails, it's blocking the trains. The 12-year deadline stems from an IPCC policy target. Emissions must decline 45% by 2030 to limit warming to 1.5°C, not an extinction countdown. This distinction matters. One invites problem solving, the other triggers panic. Meanwhile, ignored data reveals death rates from natural disasters have plummeted 92% since the 1920s. Weather-related deaths and economic damage dropped 80-90% over 4 decades. Sea levels rose 7.5 inches between 1901 and 2010, yet the Netherlands thrives below sea level through engineering. When pressed for evidence that billions will die, scientists admit no such studies exist. Research suggests food production could increase even with 4-5°C warming as technology outpaces climate impacts. For the Democratic Republic of Congo, where 98% cook with wood and annual income is $561, poverty, disease, and violence pose far greater immediate threats than climate projections. In August 2019, celebrities shared dramatic Amazon fire images, calling it Earth's lungs, producing 20% of the world's oxygen. The photos were decades old. IPCC lead author Dan Nepstad called the lungs claim bullshit. The Amazon consumes as much oxygen as it produces. Marine biologist Christine Figener's 2015 video of a plastic straw extracted from a sea turtle's nostril garnered over 60 million views, triggering bans from Seattle to Starbucks. Yet straws represent just 0.03% of the 9 million tons of plastic entering oceans annually. The plastic crisis is real. Half of all sea turtles have consumed plastic. Whales die with dozens of pounds in their bodies. 90% of seabirds have ingested it. But the straw banning campaigns ignored this. Commercial fishing nets kill approximately 500,000 olive ridley turtles in just one economic zone over a decade, likely millions annually worldwide. Habitat loss and overfishing threaten entire populations. Yet fishing nets didn't inspire viral videos or corporate bans. The irony deepens with plastic's origin story. For millennia, humans heated hawksbill sea turtles, sometimes alive, to extract their shells for luxury items. Scientists estimate 9 million hawksbills were killed since 1844. Elephant ivory for piano keys drove Americans to kill 15,000 elephants annually in the 1870s. Plastic ultimately saved both species. Even Figener acknowledges, plastic is a miracle product. Similar dynamics appear in Amazon deforestation debates. European nations that grew wealthy through centuries of deforestation now pressure tropical countries against similar development. Globally, forests are actually returning. Burned area decreased 25% from 1998 to 2015, and new tree growth has exceeded loss for 35 years. We banned straws to feel virtuous while ignoring commercial fishing's vastly larger impact. The American Museum of Natural History warns we're experiencing the sixth extinction caused by humanity. The 2019 IPBES report claimed 1 million species risk extinction, yet the International Union for Conservation of Nature reports more modest realities. Only 0.8% of 112,432 studied species have gone extinct since 1500, fewer than two species yearly. The real problem is population decline. Wild animal populations dropped roughly in half between 1970 and 2010. The causes trace back to energy poverty. In Virunga National Park, Congo, the $35 million annual charcoal trade drives deforestation and threatens mountain gorillas. By the early 2000s, 25% of old-growth forest in southern Virunga had been lost to charcoal production. For Congolese to stop using forest-destroying charcoal, they need liquefied petroleum gas and cheap electricity. Research from India proves subsidizing rural villagers with LPG reduces deforestation and enables forest recovery. Some conservationists now believe responsible oil drilling in Virunga could generate income for conservation while minimizing environmental impact. The path to saving forests runs through industrialization, not away from it. During London Fashion Week 2019, Extinction Rebellion activists lay in streets covered in fake blood, protesting fashion's environmental impact. They embodied environmentalism's core narrative: industrial development destroys nature. But this narrative inverts reality. When young people like Supardi, a 25-year-old Indonesian factory worker, leave farming for urban factory work, remaining farmers must produce more through improved productivity. This pattern has driven economic development for 250 years. Since 1961, agricultural land expanded only 8%, while food production grew 300%. Humanity's wood use has peaked. As farms become more productive, reforestation catches up to slowing deforestation globally. Cities concentrate humans on just over 0.5% of Earth's ice-free surface, leaving more countryside for wildlife. When women like Supardi move to cities, they transition from cooking with wood to using liquefied petroleum gas, which produces 1/3 fewer carbon emissions and saves precious time. Humans have steadily moved away from wood. It provided nearly all primary energy in 1850, but only 7% today. This transition allows forests to regenerate and wildlife to return. An 1861 Vanity Fair cartoon showed whales toasting the discovery of the oil wells in Pennsylvania. Petroleum refining, not activism, first saved whales from extinction. Within 3 years of Edwin Drake's 1859 oil strike, petroleum production matched whaling's peak output. By 1900, American whaling had declined to 10% of its peak. Yet whaling surged again between 1904 and 1978, killing 1 million whales, triple the 19th century's harvest. The second salvation came when industrial chemists developed margarine from palm oil, making it cheaper than whale oil by 1940. Italian physicist Cesare Marchetti discovered energy transitions follow predictable patterns regardless of wars, price changes, or depressions, as if the system had a schedule, a will, and a clock. Natural gas emits 17 to 40 times less sulfur dioxide than coal, minimal nitrous oxide, almost no mercury, and is 1/8 as deadly, counting accidents and pollution. The fracking revolution reduced U.S. carbon emissions 13% between 2005 to 2018. Yet climate activist groups have worked to close nuclear plants, our cleanest energy source, while taking money from or investing in natural gas and renewable companies that profit from nuclear closures. France spends half as much as Germany for electricity that produces 1/10 the carbon emissions. Had Germany invested its $580 billion in nuclear instead of renewables, it could generate 100% zero-emission electricity. The 2011 Fukushima accident caused zero radiation deaths, just like Three Mile Island. Nuclear power has saved over 2 million lives by preventing deadly air pollution. Yet public fear, not evidence, drives energy policy. In 2019, climate activists protested Pete Buttigieg for taking fossil fuel money. The protest spokesperson worked for 350.org, funded by Tom Steyer, whose firm anchored Indonesia's coal industry. In 2012, Sierra Club confessed to secretly accepting $25 million from fracking pioneer Aubrey McClendon, then took $110 million from Michael Bloomberg, a major natural gas investor. Renewable energy's limitations remain unacknowledged. A Tesla Powerwall with solar panels costs $20,000 to $40,000, requiring 17-plus years to recoup. Australia's famous Tesla battery powers just 7,500 homes for 4 hours in a country with 9 million households. Backing up the entire U.S. grid for 4 hours would cost nearly $900 billion. Solar and wind provide just 3% of global primary energy. After Extinction Rebellion's death-focused protests, a British columnist called them an upper-middle-class death cult. Young activists, believing emissions result from malevolence rather than necessary poverty reduction, develop isolating anger. Greta Thunberg's mother acknowledged apocalyptic content contributed to her depression and eating disorder. Environmentalism has become the dominant secular religion of educated elites, replacing God with nature, priests with scientists. Research shows children engaged in climate activism have better mental health than those aware but inactive, providing what psychologist Ernest Becker called immortality projects. But when built on apocalyptic narratives divorced from evidence, it becomes psychologically destructive and politically counterproductive. We face a choice. Environmental humanism, affirming humanity's specialness while pursuing prosperity and nature, or apocalyptic environmentalism, condemning human flourishing as planetary destruction. Most people want prosperity and nature together, not nature purchased through suffering.